If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, folks, welcome back to another edition here of Kranz's Corner. Very excited about this one because Steve Weiss is going to join us here. He's NFL Network's chief national reporter. He's also on the Insiders, which I love, Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. on NFL Network. I'm talking to Steve, and we're just talking beforehand, and man, it feels good when we're this close to football coming back. First off, Steve, you're always great to me. Thank you for coming back in Kranz's Corner, and welcome back to the start of the NFL season.
Oh, Zach, well, first off, thanks for having me, but it's almost as if you can smell the freshly cut grass or turf, however you want to do it, because we're here. And it's weird being in the media, the energy is different. You know, you end the season, you can't wait for a breather. Then the middle of the offseason, you're like, okay, when's it going to get here? And now that we're on kind of the precipice of training camps really kicking into full swing, it is a whole different energy that I think a lot of us are feeling.
Yeah, and it's great. It's such a good energy now, too, because now from the end or mid-July towards the end of July all the way through February, it's football, football, football. You know how we like to do. And you're right. Kind of mid you know, February towards March, you do need that little breather, and then all of a sudden it starts all back up again, combine, the whole thing. So it's a year-round sport, but luckily Steve hopefully takes a little while off with his family, extended family too. I love seeing all your stuff on social media. I'm a big fan of Steve Weiss. I've been for a very long time now. I love it. All right, let's start with this, and you know where I'm starting. Of course, down here in Miami Gardens, Florida, where the Miami Dolphins play, have their facility. Doesn't matter how nice the grass is, doesn't matter what Mike McDaniel comes out and says, it's all going to start off with one name. I'll just say it, Tua, the contract extension, what's going to end up happening. Your thoughts on what's happened so far, and what do you think is going to end up happening, you think, with Tua and this contract before training camp? Obviously, we only have a couple more days during the season. Like, what do you think at this point?
Yeah, look, this is something that you probably want to get done before training camp. All offseason, there's been a feeling it'll get done, it'll get done. Now you're kind of getting into this nervous territory as to, will it get done? And if it doesn't get done, is Tua going to show up? Now, there's nothing in his nature that would suggest that he is not going to show up. He loves football. He, as you know, down there, he's one of those wonderful human beings you can come across, right? I think he would show up, but to have that in his mental, I want to get this done. I want to get this done. That is not what the Dolphins need right now. This is a big year for the Dolphins because they've been knocking on the door. They have got to finally kick this door in, and especially for Tua, right? He has got to have the big year. He showed last year he can stay healthy.
Right.
He showed how he can be productive, how productive he can be in the system. Now he wants to be rewarded when he's seeing Trevor Lawrence, when he's seeing, you know, all of these other quarterbacks, Jared Goff, all these guys get these types of contracts. Probably like, where's mine? So it's just a situation where this will be a significant distraction in terms of, for us on the outside, probably more for folks in the building, if they don't get this taken care of. I personally think this gets done probably just as we're entering training camp, just because the Dolphins understand that, one, if they don't take care of Tua, it's going to be a problem.
Right.
Right. And two, what is the alternative? That's why some of these long-term quarterback contracts are getting done. What happens if you don't have one of these? The Dolphins have lived that nightmare for decades. If you don't have a quarterback who can, regardless of what you think of him, play functionally at that position.
Right. Last 2 years, obviously last year, the durability before the season was questioned. Played all 17 games. Yep. Last 2 years, also through the first 8 games of the season, he was in the MVP conversation. We're talking about a guy who was dominating. Obviously, it helped last year when he scored 70 on Denver. But every game, it's 3 touchdowns, 4 touchdowns, whatever it is. And you're right. You know the landscape down here in Miami. You know that this team is, this franchise has been searching for their franchise quarterback since Dan Marino. Yeah. And Dan Marino has been retired and been in the Hall of Fame for a long time for you to still be searching. And I think they found their guy here. What's taking so long, I don't know. It's a numbers game at this point, I'm sure, with guaranteed this and how many of this. And
yeah,
I get that whole thing. But with all these quarterbacks getting contracts, it's just one less thing to worry about and know that you have your guy. I think that they know in their heads that Tua is their guy. But like we talk about, we know there's a business side of things also with numbers that they have to get to. But you've been to many training camps. You've been to you know, all 32 teams, I'm sure you spent time with all of them during training camp. The last thing you want is some sort of distraction as training camp starts. And now Tyreek Hill, for the last couple of months, he's been coming out talking about pay Tua, pay Tua, pay Tua. Teron Armstead was just with pay Tua. A lot of stuff is going on in the background. I think it's putting the pressure on the Dolphins at this point. But to the conclusion to all this part, you don't want to start day one of training camp with the first question of Mike McDaniel or to the players coming off the field. Any news on the Tua stuff? And it's going to if it doesn't get signed before that happens.
Well, at that position, look what the Cowboys are going through with Dak Prescott.
Right.
Like, it's going to be that type of zoo if they don't get this taken care of. And again, you may not think that Tua is necessarily Aaron Rodgers or that Tua is Matthew Stafford, whatever. But he, in this scheme, is better than anything that you've had. And so you pay him accordingly. The salaries are what they are. And remember when Patrick Mahomes signed that 10-year, $450 million deal like 4 years ago? We're like, right. Oh, my God, this is crazy. Now it's a bargain. Right. It is like he's like the 10th highest paid quarterback in the NFL. So regardless of what the number is, there's nothing that's showing that the salary cap is going to decrease, that quarterback salaries are going to decrease. So you get it done now. You structure it in a way where maybe he gets a certain amount of money over the first 3 years of the deal. Maybe there's an out after 3 years. In case things don't work. But again, it just keeps coming back to this, Zach. What is the alternative?
Right.
If you try to have him play this out and then you get into franchise tagging him and all that, hey, man, you are going to have significant problems that other teams, other than the Dallas Cowboys, have sought to avoid when they found somebody who can, again, functionally run their offense.
Yep. And we saw it when he is hot. He's as hot as any quarterback in the league, throwing the ball, ripping the ball downfield.
Yeah.
Being accurate, that's his number one thing. His accuracy is incredible at this point also. And when you have Tyreek Hill on one side, Jalen Waddle on the other, oh, by the way, Odell Beckham now here, Jonnu Smith, like they got weapons all over the place to throw to, and you need someone accurate. Of course you want someone that can throw the ball 80 yards downfield, that's fine. But when you have weapons like that, you just need to be accurate and get your playmakers the ball. And that's what Tua does great. You named a good quarterbacks, great quarterbacks, Stafford, Rodgers, guys like that. There's so many good quarterbacks in the league right now, but Tua just fits the system, the Mike McDaniel system. That's not saying that Stafford can't come in here and play great in the system. But right now, it just seems like Mike McDaniel and Tua are a great marriage, system marriage also. So why not just lock this guy up and not have this confusion at this point? It's crazy.
Yeah, you talk about system marriage, but the NFL now is a game of angle, space, and geometry.
Right.
Right. It's not like when Marino played, when you had him going with the Marx brothers, where it was deep ball after deep ball. It is West Coast style of offense where you get it to your receiver 8 yards down the field and let your receiver do the work and move the chains. And that's the type of playmakers. Yeah, Tyreek Hill can go deep, but he can catch the hitch pass. I mean, half the stuff he did last year was that kind of bow motion, and they're getting it to him before coverage is there, and he's running the ball. So Jalen Waddle does, right? Odell is a very, if he's healthy, if he's on the field, he's somebody who can catch it and run it and hit the big play in a lot of different ways as well. You mentioned Jonnu Smith. He will function very well in the scheme as a receiver. He's also a pretty good blocker as well. So I don't know what necessarily the hang-up is. I'm sure it is something to do with the structure.
Right.
The average per year is probably going to come out, you know, what we're seeing with some of these other quarterbacks. But it's probably the structure, how much money guaranteed. But again, I personally think they will get this done, if not right at the start of training camp, within the first few days, just to dial down the temperature, because it will become a pain. We've seen this. It is different at the quarterback position than it is at any other position when it comes to this.
Right, 100%. Besides the fact the temperature is going to be about 118 degrees on the field every day down here, you know how it's going to be early August here in Miami Garden, Florida.
A little humidity.
Oh, my goodness, it's crazy. It's crazy now. I can't imagine on the field in another week or so at this point. What are your thoughts on Mike McDaniel so far as a head coach in this league?
Fantastic. A lot of people may not like the fact that he's kind of this dude and he's got kind of the hip fashion thing. It works, right? Like Sean McVay has kind of the same approach, but his energy is a little different. He's always wearing the athletic training gear instead of the Yeezys and things like this. But you see strategically what McDaniel does, that's fine and dandy. Look, when head coaches are judged, the strategic part of it is absolutely part of it, but it's the communication stuff that is the most important. And when I hear people talk about Kyle Shanahan and Kevin O'Connell and Sean McVay and Mike McDaniel, it's the fact that regardless of whatever side of the ball you're on, you know what you're doing, why you're doing it as an individual, why you're doing it as a position group, and why you're doing it as a whole unit. And that is a hard skill for a lot of people. That's why some people are better served as coordinators on one side of the ball than they are talking to all 53, right, plus your trainers, plus your doctors, plus everybody else on the team. And so Mike McDaniel seems to really check that box in terms of being a legitimate head coach. You know, it's to where if the Dolphins said, okay, we're going to let him go, someone's going to hire him right away, right? That's another reason why you know he's kind of got this. But I do think this is going to be a big year for the Dolphins because the opportunity is there. And to me, it's kind of crazy why a lot of us in the media and other folks aren't talking about them as a legitimate challenger to the Kansas City Chiefs. I know they lost some pieces, but they added some pieces as well. And now the third year under McDaniel, I don't see any reason why they're not going to be ascending once more.
You know what? I'll be honest with you. I'm glad it's not being talked about a lot because I think there was so much hype around the team last year. And then, of course, at the end of the season, I mean, any team in the NFL, even the Kansas City Chiefs, if you told me that Patrick Mahomes lost his three best pass rushers with six games left to go in the season, and they had to drastically change a defense that was ranked top 10 all year under Vic Fangio, even without Jalen Ramsey in the beginning and Xavier Howard at times. I mean, that defense was really good last year, but they lost 5-6 guys off that defense, brought in some new faces. I love the Calais Campbell signing just because the Miami connection is perfect with him. And there were some other good signings there. They brought in Kendall Fuller. They brought in Poyer. They did bring in some guys that, whether the old teams think they had gas left in the tank or not, I'm glad they're here in Miami for a little bit of a resurrection. But yeah, it's interesting that they're not being talked about a lot more. But like I said before, I'm glad. I don't like the hype as much as, you know what? And Steve, you know this. Steve's been down and knows Miami as good as anybody. It's been 24 years and change since they won a playoff game. Lamar Smith had to run for 200 yards in a playoff game in 2000 for them to win one with Jay Fiedler as quarterback of that team. It's been that long. Just win a damn playoff game. I don't care about the hype. Sure, I'd love to win a Super Bowl. I talked about that with you a little bit beforehand, but get me to round two. Get me to the divisional round of the playoffs, and I think the Miami fan base down here will be very happy, especially if a guy like Tua is leading the way with Tyreek Hill fully backing him. But 24 years and change, something has to break at this point.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
They got to get home field, man. We saw that last year, and that's where you've got to win that division. You've got to get home field, because as much as people want to downplay that cold weather stuff, the climate stuff is real. Dome teams struggle in certain climates for reasons, right? You're built a certain way, and we saw when they had to go to Kansas City in that cold weather, that's just not it for the way this team is built.
Yeah, it would be nice to have a game down here at Hard Rock Stadium for a playoff. It would be very nice to see that at this point.
Hey, brother, just tell the fans to wait until the gates open.
Oh my God. They enter. What a scene. I mean, listen, and I know that this wasn't a football. That was one of the craziest scenes I have ever seen at any sporting event. And we've seen plenty of craziness over the years. I could not believe it. I know that soccer and football is a humongous sport, especially when you put Colombia and Venezuela down here in South Florida, where there's a humongous Hispanic community all over the place. But good God almighty, Steve, from the outside looking in, that looked like not a train wreck. It looked like 18 train wrecks all in one. It was crazy to see that.
It's just a shame because, you know, you talked about the international soccer match. There's 10 of those every year down in South Florida.
Right.
So just the fact that you had that type of crowd destroying that beautiful stadium, I hate that it cast a blight on South Florida, a place that I just love so much and is near and dear to my heart. And you know, they folks just have to be better. You know, you can blame it on security, whatnot. No, we as human beings, sports fans, whatever, have to be a little bit more civil.
Yeah, it was a little crazy when they're trying to get through the air vents to get into the inside the stadium.
Come
Those
on.
videos will be in my head forever when you think about sporting events. AFC in general, where do you think the Dolphins stand in the AFC at this point? There's so many good teams now. It's not the normal just the top two on top and then who else can make it. There's eight or nine really good teams in the AFC that have a chance to make the playoffs almost every year now. A lot of that has to do with the quarterback play as well. But where do you think the Dolphins stand in this long list of great or good AFC teams?
Look, I may be different than other people. I think they're among the five best teams, right? You've got the Chiefs.
Right.
You've got, let's just go to this. I mean, I think the Texans are going to be a pain.
Me too.
You've got the AFC North, right? You've got the Ravens. If Joey Burrow stays healthy, the Bengals are there. I know everybody's loving the Jets because Aaron Rodgers, one of the greatest players of our era, if he comes back, they should be a lot better. I frankly don't think they're going to be better than the Dolphins. I think the Dolphins should be the best team in that division. I think the Bills, with some of the losses they've had at receiver in the secondary, that's going to be an intriguing situation with them. Jonnu Smith threw a little hot sauce on that rivalry
He
for
sure
the
did,
Dolphins.
man.
Little Brian Cox hot sauce. But I just, I think the Dolphins, they've had some losses, but I look at, you talked about Calais Campbell and some things you're doing on the D front. Anthony Weaver, he comes from Baltimore. Their D front has always been the backbone. Their safety play and the interior, right up the middle, has always been the backbone of that defense. And I think the Dolphins are strong there. So, look, if they get Chubb and Jalen Phillips back by, let's say, week four or whatever from their injuries, they should be rounding into shape at the right time. Plus, their schedule lays out beautifully for them to get off to a quick start. So, I think they're a top five, top six team in the AFC that gets them into the playoffs. We'll see where they go from there because I do think Tua is going to continue to improve as well. Another reason to get that contract out of the way because he's shown there's nothing that he's shown that shows he's a player that's plateaued, that he's hit his top. Dude works hard. His teammates love him. I just think they're going to be one of the better teams in the AFC this year.
I like the sneaky kind of approach that they're taking this year instead of the big headline, Dolphins are one of the top. I like that. I kind of like that a little bit better, considering also, like we talked about before, 2.5 decades since they won a playoff game, which is terrible to even say at
Oh
this
my
point.
God.
AFC East in general, I'm glad you brought that up. The Bills have been the Dolphins' daddy for the last eight
They're
years. I mean,
daddies.
their daddy. Josh Allen, since he got to the Buffalo Bills organization, has literally had the Dolphins' number. Even when Josh Allen in his first year couldn't throw the ball straight, but he could throw it 80 yards downfield. And now all of a sudden, he's become one of the best in the league. But like you said, with the Jets are a better team if Aaron Rodgers is out there playing quarterback. And the Patriots somehow. It's fun to say now because if they're the fourth best team in the AFC East for 20 years, they were the best team there. So it's okay to take a couple of years off until they make a little bit of a turn. But man, the AFC East should be a fun race. I know you think the Dolphins are the top team, and I'm right there with you. But man, Aaron Rodgers twice a year, Josh Allen twice a year. This is going to be a fun division to kind of watch, exclusively at this point.
It really will be because when it comes to the Jets, right? If Aaron Rodgers is healthy again, we know how great he is. We know how he elevates people. And we know how, because of his familiarity with Nathaniel Hackett, the offensive coordinator, if Hackett sends in a crazy play, Aaron Rodgers can fix it either in the huddle or at the line of scrimmage. So we know they've got that backstop. And my whole thing is they've got, Garrett Wilson, just a great wide receiver, but who else? Right. We know they signed Mike Williams, but he's coming off a significant knee
Big
injury.
injury.
And everything I hear there is that, it's going to be a minute before he's right. Right. So where are, again, Aaron Rodgers has elevated people we haven't known about before. Is he going to be able to continue to do that? We know their defense is excellent. So, we'll see. Everyone likes to hang on the fact they still won seven games with their quarterback issues last year. A lot of teams won seven games. That's not enough to get you into the playoffs. So we'll see. And again, with Buffalo, I'm just really, really intrigued. Josh Allen, clearly one of the best players in the NFL, but their receiving core, man,
Oof.
they've, there's just not a lot of Again, you know, Mac Hollins down there from Miami, you know, he's one of the guys you're counting on to be a rotational player at that receiver. So, look, they're going to be a tight end friendly type of team with Kincaid and Dawson Knox. We've seen teams like Baltimore win that way. It's just going to be maybe a transition, a slow burn, which is why I think it's going to be important for the Dolphins to get out to a fast start again.
Right. Have to. You're 100% right. They have to start off quick this season, not knowing. And that would be such a bonus for them, too, like you said. And then all of a sudden, weeks four, week five, six, maybe get an injured guy back, maybe get another injured guy back a couple of weeks later on the defensive front. And Anthony Weaver is a wild card to me because I can't wait to see how he uses guys like Jalen Ramsey out there. He talked about it in his first press conference, a chess piece that I could put anywhere on the field. And Javon Holland, it's going to be those two guys to me are going to be the centerpieces of this defense, especially in Anthony Weaver's eyes, because he could use them anywhere, up all the way up front, run support in the back like ball hawks. It should be cool to see how he used Kyle Hamilton. He could use one of these guys in that kind of a spot as well. So that should be fun to see on that. The last one, and I'm going to let you go. We obviously know what's been going on with the Jets. We know what's going on with the Bills and know what's going on with the Dolphins. The other side, the NFC, I never really talk about the NFC because we're the AFC team here. What do you think in the NFC the favorite is to come out at this point? I would say San Francisco at this point and go from there. There are other good teams in there, but it just seems like San Francisco every year when you're asking somebody to for their way too early prediction, it's, oh yeah, we'll go with San Francisco on this side and then we'll pick it at Kansas City on that side. Do you think San Francisco the team to beat in the NFC at this point?
I do. I mean, just because they're so great defensively, the way that they run the ball, they've got stars. I mean, they're one of the few teams that has just an abundance of stars. Now, we'll see what happens with Brandon Ayuk. They're not going to trade him. I don't think that's going to happen. But when you've got Debo and Ayuk and McCaffrey and Juwan Jennings, they drafted Pearsall. You got George Kittle. And then you got Brock Purdy, who's an excellent quarterback, right? You can say what you want about him not being the – he fits, right? He fits. And then defensively, they're absolutely stacked. They got the best inside linebacker, Fred Warner. You got Bosa. They add Leonard Floyd. They've got Javon Hargrave in the middle. But Detroit had him. Detroit had them in the NFC Championship game, and they choked it off.
They did.
Right? Detroit is going to be very good. They just drafted so well. All those guys have developed so well. They've taken care of all their contract issues. They got Penei Sewell and Goff and all these guys taken care of. Green Bay is on the come up. What we saw out of them last year. And Philadelphia, I think, with some of the changes that they made on their coaching staff to kind of get – Kellen Moore is our offensive coordinator.
Right.
That dude has been very good in Dallas, was very good with the Chargers, and now he's got toys galore. You know, you just have to see if they can guard anybody in the back end. Last year, their corners were an issue and their inside linebacker. So, you know, there are some teams. There's probably going to be some sleeper teams. I mean, if Kirk Cousins gets it together in Atlanta, they've got players down there. Now, they've got an O-line, two really good running backs. They've got some receivers. Defensively, they've got players. So there's going to be some team we're not thinking of right now. Could it be the Rams? I personally think the team that no one's talked about who could be dynamite is the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, right.
They have they've got players. Geno Smith has shown 2 years in a row he's a legit NFL starter. They've got two really good running backs, three stud receivers. That young offensive line came together. They got horses up front. So Mike McDonald, who comes over from the Ravens, now, you know, he was their DC.
Right.
And now he's got, you know, Tariq Woolen. He's got Devin Witherspoon, who I think might end up being the defensive player of the year this year. That's my team to be the sleeper. Are they the, you know, are they the team to beat? We'll see. It's still the Niners, but Detroit is knocking on the door.
Right. No one's talking about Seattle. I love that pick. No one's bringing them up yet. Everyone's bringing up everyone else. I think Detroit is one of the sexy picks at this point. I have not heard Seattle a lot. I love it because I really do think that offense stays the way they are and that defense gets better under McDonald. That's going to be a hard team to beat down the stretch. Right. Tough team to beat down the stretch, especially if they get better, that much better defensively. And Geno plays as well as he has the last 2 years. Really, the sky's the limit for Seattle in the NFC, and a pretty wide-open NFC also. Same thing in the AFC. I don't think outside of Kansas City, it is wide open with all these good teams. That's the best. The irony in the NFL is going to be great this year to see who does kind of jump up, who does fall down. And I do quietly Love that Atlanta offense. Ooh, I'm excited to watch if Kirk Cousins can come out there and use those guys. Kyle Pitts, to me, been like a forgotten soul out there. I can't wait to see what happens with him there. Steve, when I talk to you, especially this time of the year, I know we're getting closer to football.
And that's here we go.
I'm excited about that. I'm jacked up about that also. Thank you so much for coming on Krantz's Corner once again. It's NFL Network's chief national reporter, The Insiders. They air Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. NFL Network. What else you got going on, Steve? I know you're a busy guy. I know you're your podcast, you're traveling, you're all over the place.
Yeah, you know, busy guy. But again, I'm just getting ready to start this training camp. I'll kick things off in Houston. I'll be in Washington and Baltimore. In the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I will be in Canton, Ohio. It's my favorite week of the year. We're going to honor some great ones, including that hurricane, two hurricanes, Devin Hester and Andre Johnson. So it'll be a great week up in Canton, Ohio.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Good stuff. And a lot of South Florida people are going to be really happy watching that week, that whole week of celebration, knowing two Canes are going to be in there as well. Steve, thanks as always for coming on Krantz's Corner. I can't thank you enough every time you're here. And like I said, you could smell the grass. Football is right here, right around the corner at this point, and I love it. Thanks again for coming on. We appreciate it.
You got it, Zach.
All right. The great Steve Weiss from NFL Network, chief national reporter. And when we talk to him, we know football is close. A special edition of Krantz's Corner.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal, the raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.